The title of the sermon today is The Search. The period of time we live in today is called the Church Age. It's also called the period of the Gentile. It's also called the dispensation of grace, a time in which we are saved by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. This period of time, through the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, also signifies the start of the last days. The last days before the Lord Jesus returns. So, yes, today we are living in the last days. End times start when the church is taken out of this world before the tribulation period. And that period of time during the tribulation period is known as the end times. A very familiar scripture that we're going to go to today that I know that in your church life you have seen this many, many times is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want us to go there today. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this whole chapter is very, very good, and we'll get to parts of it as we go. But if we look at verse 1, in verse 1 it says, "But know this, that in the last days," the Apostle Paul brings it out immediately. What period of time in which the time that Timothy is going to be living in and the period of time that you're living in today. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Then he reveals to us this is what it is going to look like. In verse 2 it says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors of headstrong and haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And that most certainly signifies in the world that we live in today, when it used to be when you purchased something, a handshake was good enough, but almost now you need a trove of lawyers that are standing behind you when you go to purchase something. Because people are lovers of themselves. But listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. It gives us a picture of the world in which we live in today. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Is that not the world in which we live in today? You read the newspapers, you watch the rioting on the TV set. We live in a world that does not want to protect good, but it wants to protect evil. It is just amazing the changes we have seen. In verse 5, it gives us a picture of the world in which we live in today as far as the church. "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." So that's back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." The church today in America has lost the format. It has a lot of format, but it does not have any power today. That is why churches are closing. This church, we must never forget, is successful not because of the pastors, but it is successful because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason we're successful. It's not because I'm such an eloquent speaker, because you know that I am not. But we lean in on the power of the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives, to draw people to Him, to bring healing and restoration in people's lives. And when a church is looking for the Spirit of God, and through the power of God, through that Spirit, He is going to touch people's lives. When we depend on ourselves, we've lost it. Do you remember the dispensational view of the church before Christ returns? And I remind you of that. I saved my place here in Timothy, but I want to take us to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, I go down to verse 14. He says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, is the Lord Jesus himself. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's by the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that people are saved. It is through that power that people are healed. It is through that power that people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Saints, this church has what others do not. We must protect it with our life. Will you stand with me today to protect the Spirit of God that is in this church today?
Amen.
Amen. Because we have nothing if we don't have it. We must protect it. We honor the Word of God. We say all the time that we stand for it. We proclaim it, the Word of God, that we believe the Word of God. It's through the Word of God and His Spirit that people's lives are renewed and changed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This world is always getting smarter and smarter and smarter, and many of us would say at the same time they're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Now we have to deal with artificial intelligence, but is still not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is that truth? That Jesus came, He died, He was resurrected, and by faith in Him, we can be saved. In Acts 4:12 it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And do you pick up on that word? Must be saved. Because if you're not saved, you are lost. Now Paul, he turns and he speaks personally to Timothy. But he's also speaking to us today. In verse 14 he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now I want us to go to a scripture that speaks about this, but this one is one that people have gone to over and over and over. And they've talked about that we live in perilous times. That the world, the church, has a form of godliness, but they deny the power of. Or that we're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But today I want us to also go to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. And this is amazing, that Daniel's prophecy to the future. It was amazing because you notice that the prophets of the old times, they spoke not only to the times in which they were living, but they also talked to generations or even thousands of years in the future. The book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 says this, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. I used to think, well, this is referring to travel, that we travel like no other time in history. I mean, you couldn't imagine during Daniel's time that they ever think about flying on an airplane or getting in a vehicle and going down the road. But that's not really what this scripture is talking about. It's really referring to people that are running here and there and everywhere else. They're looking for love, they're looking for peace, and they're looking for joy, and they cannot find it. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now I turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. And this is what it says about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The world is searching, as never before, for these qualities that we just got done reading off, but they cannot find them. Think about it. These fruits that we're talking about here today, you can't earn them, you can't find them, and you don't have enough money to ever buy them. Through our life in Christ, they are produced through Him, through us. He is the vine that we are the branches, as it talks about in John chapter 15 and verse 5. He produces these fruits through us. If you want more love in your life, then you need to cling tighter to the vine. If you want more peace in your life, then you need to cling tighter to the vine. Because we only display the fruit, but the Lord Jesus produces that fruit through us. The world is traveling to and fro, yes, as never before, but they cannot find these things. Peace with God is only found through Jesus Christ. He produces these fruits in our life. Now turn with me to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says this: where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. We live in a world that has cast off restraint. We got police officers that are out there doing their duty and taking drug people and criminals and molesters and rapists off the street, and we're rioting against that. There is no restraint because in people's lives there is no revelation. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps it. Now, in the NIV, it says where there is no revelation. In the King James Version, the Old King James Version, it says where there is no vision. The New Living Translation says when people do not accept divine guidance, they will cast off restraint. People say, well, I have never had a revelation. We talked about this in CE this morning. I have never had a revelation from God, and I've never had a visitation from God. And I say to you today, but if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have had a revelation of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, and I'm just going to rattle these off because I'm not going to turn to them, it says that God desires for all flesh to be saved. Who is he that desires that? God is the one that desires that. Hell was not created for you and I. Hell was created for Satan and his fallen angels. All of us have been born to go to heaven. None have been born to go to hell. But Jesus Christ is the mediator. He stands in the gap. In John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That drawing of the Holy Spirit in your life is a revelation of God. Of who He is, what He is, and He is calling you to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now turn with me to John chapter 16. We're almost done. John chapter 16. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, in John 16 verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." The old King James Version says it's expedient that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, now listen to the words. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. What is he doing? He's bringing a revelation of God to that person. Conviction is a revelation. I shared this morning that when, if you go to the old Church of God in Knoxville where Pastor Leo got saved, I said, if you went back to the back pew where I always was, you could still see my fingerprints and probably in the back of that pew, because I fought that conviction like nobody would fight that conviction. Every time that I was convicted by God, I was getting a revelation, but I was ignoring the revelation. No, Pastor Leo's never seen angels. But have I had a revelation of God? Absolutely. And I believe that as we witness to other people and the Holy Spirit draws them, they also have a revelation of God. You see, and I got to thinking about that. I wonder how many times I got a revelation of God and I ignored it because I didn't want to go forward. I didn't want to accept Jesus. Why? Because I knew there was going to be changes in my life. I didn't want to stop smoking. I didn't want to stop drinking. I didn't want to stop doing any of those things. I was going to lose some of my friends that I had for years and years. I didn't want to lose all them friends. But I knew. How did I know that? Because the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. There was going to have to be change that was going to have to take place in my life. You have to consider the cost of salvation. You make Him Lord of your life, and He's not only Lord of your life when you're sitting in church, He's Lord of your life all the time. The Apostle Paul said he was a bondservant. He would serve no other. He would only serve Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I hope to believe that when you talk to Pastor Leo here, or you see Leo's dealings here with other people, it would be the same way I would deal with people outside. And if I don't, I need to ask for forgiveness. Because we need to live our life for the Lord Jesus no matter where we're at, whether we're in the workplace or whether we're in the business or whatever that we're doing. So how many times did I fight that conviction when I was really fighting the revelation of God in my life? So let me ask you, have you ever had a revelation of God? And if you haven't accepted Jesus, then you've had it, but you've ignored it. In this world, you can run all over, and you're never going to find it. The only way that I ever found peace in my life, the only way that I truly found love in my life, is when I found Jesus. Think of all the rich people and the multi-billionaires, and now we're talking trillionaires out there. And just think about it. They don't have what you have. They don't have what you have. Carol was talking in her class, or she taught a devotion yesterday. You know, you can be in the Olympics and you can give all your desire to the Olympics of what you're doing and what you're focusing on, but it's just a crown that is perishing. But the crown that you received when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is a crown that is imperishable. It's never going to go away. Let's pray today. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I ask just very simply to this congregation, have you had a revelation of God and you've ignored it and have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Lord, in only the way that you can, I pray that your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place. And if there's anyone that has that revelation right now and has never accepted Jesus, that they will respond to this message today. If you hear the words of my voice while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, and you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to stand up and come forward. And I want to pray with you today. I don't want you to leave here with a shadow of a doubt that you know that if anything ended your life today, you know exactly where you're going. The amazing part of this is we have so many people, many people in our church that grew up in church. They grew up basically knowing Jesus. It's always been a part of their life. But like me, it wasn't. And it took the revelation of God in my life for me to acknowledge Him. And if there's anyone that would like to accept Jesus, don't leave here doubting, but leave here knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I'd like for you to just stand up and come forward. Father, we just rejoice in this day, and we rejoice in your word, and we rejoice in the revelation of your spirit and of who you are to each and every one of our lives. Father, it is so good to be back in the house of the Lord with our church family. I pray that you will bless them and you will keep them. Your face would smile and shine upon them. And I pray that this week, that Lord, that you would bless them immensely. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.